Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2, and after England lost the third test against India inside 2 days, we'll discuss just what went wrong for Joe Root's men. We'll also debate what is their best 11 for the fourth test and ask if this India team are just too good for them, whoever they put on the field, and we'll look ahead, of course, to Thursday's fourth test, which you can hear live and exclusive here on TalkSport 2. Plenty to get stuck into. You're listening to the Cricket Collective, and this is TalkSport 2. And alongside me for the next hour, as well as contributions from Akash Chopra and Gareth Batty, and lots of feedback from the England team over in India, in Ahmedabad. Alongside me is the one and only, the inimitable former England fast bowler and a critical member of the TalkSport 2 commentary team, Steve Harmison. An awful lot has been said and written in the aftermath of what was a bruising defeat, and a record one in terms of how quickly it was over. A lot has been said, and a lot of emotion involved as well. We've had 3 days to reflect on it all now. Harmy, what have you taken from the feedback? I mean, hopefully some of the emotion has died down a little bit now, but what have you digested in the last 3 days?
Oh, good morning, manners. Yeah, good morning, everyone. It was bizarre. To be honest, it was bizarre. 2 days of what unfolded. What I've taken away from it, that I don't, I still believe it was a poor test match surface. I still believe that England have got some young players who have got some technical deficiencies when it comes to their batting, no matter what surface they play on. And I also believe that who's connected to the BCCI in India, because of their comments on the surface. I think we had one in our commentary box. There's been one in Australia, and the whole of the Indian team. Apart from that, I think the rest of the world thought the surface wasn't good enough for test match cricket. So I think we can all have our opinions, our say. It's where England go now. That's for me. It's not about what happened before. You know, we can digest whether they paid the right team, had the right personnel out there, whether the surface was good enough, or simply India were better suited, or just played better on the surface that was prepared. But it's where England go now. They're 2-1 down in a series in a winter where they've won 3, lost 2 so far in 5 test matches. If they win another test match, they'll come away with a 2-all draw. And that will be a monumental achievement for this young side in their development going forward, especially when you talk about how good this India side is. So I think it's about looking forward and not looking back.
Yeah, I suppose, except when it comes to learning. There were a couple of articles written that I found fascinating. One by the I think, brilliant, and he's sports or cricket writer of the year for six of the last 7 years. Former England captain Michael Atherton in the Times. That was brilliant, wasn't it? I mean, it was, without getting too technical, he was saying, if you bemoan England, the Test cricket's lost weekend, and there were lots of people who were hoping to be park themselves on the couch and watch some of the cricket before the football came on. He said, blame technology, blame the third umpire, the DRS review system. And I remember really, really clearly being coached as a young lad, Harmy, and my coach saying, use your pad as a second line of defence. Mm. And in fact, use it as a first line of defence at times. And I know there's a big difference between under-10s and playing Test cricket. But there's also the ball. We've got to talk about the ball. We'll reflect on the pink ball and how it sort of skidded on. But as far as DRS is concerned, even the bowlers, Akshar Patel admitted that he kept getting LBWs because of the DRS and it was skidded on. And there are so many numbers to talk about. 28 out of 30 wickets fell to the spinners, but 21 of the 28 fell to balls that didn't spin.
Yeah, and that is the hardest part about when you're batting in the subcontinent is the ones that don't spin. And I think the ones that the best players that play and are well suited out in Asia, especially the players from there, are the ones that play for the turning ball and play for the straight ball and play straight and play with a good defensive technique and work to the terminology that if it spins big, well then as long as I'm playing sort of my bat close in my body shape, then I'm not going to hit it. You know, it's going to take a good ball or a little bit of unlucky that if it just spits and clips the outside edge or clips the glove or anything like that. If I'm playing the straight ball well and it turns a little bit, I can still cover the spin. And I think that was England's problem. I think that was England's biggest problem, where you watch somewhere like, and he looked comfortable. Joe Root played it a little bit more side on, played the ball as the ball spun. Played it well. Virat Kohli plays that way, but a lot of England players and some of India's players play more straight on, the actual eyes straight down, both shoulders coming towards the ball, and that's where they get done by the one that turns, because then when the one that doesn't turn, it goes straight on. They're technically in the wrong position. So, and I think give some credit to the bowlers as well, because I think a lot of Axar and Ashwin and even Joe, when Joe bowled, you know, it was over and round the wicket. Basically, having a look at where the batsman was sort of backlift was coming from as their bat was coming down, what sort of plane it was on, and then trying to exploit that from over and around the wicket, whether it was tight into the stumps or a little bit wider on the crease. So fair play to bowlers as well. It wasn't just a case of, right, I land this and I've got a great chance of getting a wicket. You know, there was some well thought processes going out there, and they executed their plans very, very well.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. And I think that people who say that Joe Root took 5 for 8 and that's all the evidence you need to condemn the pitch as unfit and unsuitable, I think that's a complete and total distraction.
Definitely.
I mean, he bowled a couple of really, really good deliveries, and then he got 9, 10, 11, who were all having a swipe. I think that was completely ridiculous. And people who were expecting match referee Javagol Srinath to report the pitch as being poor, there's more chance of snow stopping play in Ahmedabad. But as far as the pitch is concerned, Harmy, let's just hear what R. Ashwin, who's taken 26 wickets in 3 test matches so far. Let's just remind ourselves about what he said about the pitch.
The bowler was in the game. The batsman needs to bat well to get runs. There is absolutely no question about it. What makes a good surface? Who defines this? Seam on the first day, then bat well, and then spin on the last 2 days? Come on. Who makes all these rules? We need to get over it and not talk about whatever picture we want to paint. And if you're asking whether it's a good test surface, I don't see any of the players coming in from England having an issue with the surface. They want to improve. They look like they want to have to have a contest. Is it the players and the people who are reporting back that want their players to not compete and complain about the pitches? Because we've never done that at any of the tours.
I love that. I just love that. He's deliciously bristly. I mean, he was really spoiling for a fight. And maybe that's a bit going a bit hard. But I really sympathise, or at least I empathise, with the kind of frustration that he is obviously feeling about all the talk about the pitch. I mean, it wasn't dangerous. That's the major criteria for an unfit pitch. Is it dangerous? And as I said at the time, after the Test match, Harmy, how many times on commentary did we say, oh, there's nothing he can do about that? That was unplayable. And how many times did we say, oh, that's almost hit him on the head off a length? Mm. I mean, it wasn't dangerous. It was good bowling. The pitch was spinning. And I've got a lot of sympathy because I think, you know, Akshar Patel in his second Test match has taken 11 wickets, has bowled absolutely brilliantly. And as far as I'm concerned, too many people were talking about the pitch afterwards.
Yeah, I think that was... I think there's a few things in that, though, Manners. I think... The one thing I will say, whether people say the pitch wasn't dangerous or it's the same for both sides, them sort of arguments, I think they're irrelevant. I just think when you look at a surface and when you see what's happening on that surface, on day one, is that a fair enough contest between bat and ball? I'd argue no. And I fully get the argument, well, you come over and you see the pitches in New Zealand, green seamers, and you see them in England, green seamers. Sometimes you can't control what's happening overhead and making the ball swing. You can control on the surface, and I think they're wrong as well. I really do. I think the contest between bat and ball and the pitch deteriorates over the course of 5 days. And there's a lot of people say, well, it's not fit for five-day cricket. 5 days is only a lot of time for you to get a result. It doesn't matter whether it finishes in 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, or 5 days. But I just don't believe that that surface was fit at the start for Test match cricket. And the reason why I've climbed into it a little bit more was off the back of the week before, or the Test match before, because I think that surface wasn't... I didn't think the second Test match pitch was up to standard. But I would give the second Test match pitch a little bit of leeway because of back-to-back Test matches, COVID world, having to play another Test match 4 days later on the same venue, especially with the hot and the conditions out in India. I can understand that. If this Test match, if the third Test match surface was actually the fourth Test match in Ahmedabad, I'd give it a little bit of leeway because of the groundsman probably hasn't had enough time to prepare the pitch. I'm really, really intrigued to see what he's going to prepare for this fourth Test match pitch, because if it is gonna spin like what it does before, then I'm not sure that that's fair. But that's my honest opinion. Other people have had theirs. Kevin Peterson for one, and you know, Ashwin's had his say, and he was looking for a fight. Fair enough, rightly so. But I just don't believe we're looking at, we've got a wonderful brand here of Test match cricket, and we to try and get people to watch and the audience that we're looking for, I'm not sure that was the right sort of surface for me.
Okay, well, I'd compare it to a heavyweight boxing bout that's scheduled to go 15 rounds, and you know, and people pay a lot of money, cable TV companies, broadcasters pay millions of dollars, and it's a 15-round bout, and then the champion lands a right hook after a minute and a half, and it's all over. So 5 days is not how long a Test match should last.
Exactly.
The other thing I would say, Harmy, is that the intensity of the entertainment that we saw in five sessions, and I know that I'm playing devil's advocate, but people say, like, we're trying to attract people to Test cricket. And if I was to pick 10 kids and try and get them interested in Test cricket, if I was to give them a day of Chiteshwar Pujara and Ajinkya Rahane scoring at 2.8 runs and over and batting through 90 overs, or any given 20 minutes
of last week, yeah.
You know, I mean, seriously, we'll come back to that point, because I just want to hear from Chris Silverwood. We need to hear the England head coach talking about the learning that the young and inexperienced players will take away from this bruising experience.
You look at the guys that we've got in there, your Popes, your Crawleys, your Sibleys, all these guys that are coming through. This experience, as tough as it is at the moment, will hopefully galvanise them. And when they do get on, you know, flat surfaces, better surfaces, we'll make them even more hungry and desperate to make sure they get the runs on those surfaces. So, you know, I mean, when we travel to other countries such as Australia, hopefully, if they get themselves in, they'll get greedy and go big. And that's when it comes back into our game plan. Making big individual scores, big first inning scores, which, you know what I mean, until recently we've been very good at, and creating big partnerships. And hopefully this experience will just harden them towards that and make them potentially just appreciate the flatter wickets a little bit more and make them more greedy for it. But equally, you know, I mean, it's hopefully that they do take a lot from it, and they can, next time they come on a come onto a surface or experience a situation like this, it won't be as much of a shock to them. And hopefully they will have had a think about how they use their skills to combat what's in front of them. So, as like I said, as tough as it is, as painful as it is at this moment, hopefully we can take some good lessons. So I think, you know, I think it's a really good point you make there.
He doesn't sound like an upset and emotionally imbalanced man to me. He sounds completely rational and in control of his emotions. He speaks very sensibly. There was, I say all that because there was a report that he was considering lodging an official complaint with the ICC, and I thought, I don't think so. Mm. I don't think he's going to be doing that. He knew what to expect.
Yeah, he did. And look, Chris Silverwood, Joe Root, they spoke very well over the course of the last, the last sort of 5 or 6 weeks out in the subcontinent. I think they're doing a wonderful job when it comes to the media. The team, I think, will get better. Whatever team they pick, the pool of players are getting bigger and more experienced. I think it only bodes well for English cricket. Like I said before, 3 test matches won, 2 test matches lost. If they can win this test match and come away with a 2-2 draw, it's a monumental achievement for this side in their development going forward. You can talk about what Steve Harmison's got to say, Kevin Peterson and other people have said about the pitch. There's only one team complained about surfaces so far in this test series, and that was India in the first test match. Mm. They weren't happy about the first test pitch. England haven't complained. Their media and the people that played the game have not been very happy about the surface. But I haven't heard too many of the England players really come out and say that. So, yeah, look, there's a lot, like I said before, it's about what happens in the fourth test match, because you can't control what's just happened in the third or the second or the first.
Beats him straight away. Folks thinks he's got him. Root thinks he's got him. And the finger's gone up.
Root again. And he bowled him. Washington Sundar is beaten by a beauty. Joe Root is the man this morning. Down comes Akshar. Drives. He's caught at short extra cover. Oh, Joe Root, what are you doing?
Here's Root.
Oh, top edge sweep. It's gone up into the air. Does Joe Root have a fourth wicket underneath it? Is Zach Crawley who takes the catch?
Root to Jasprit Bumrah. Gets across. He stubs. It's hit him on the back leg and the finger has gone up. Umpire Chowdhury says that's it. Joe Root has picked up his fifth wicket. 5 for 8. Joe Root, 6.2 overs, 3 maidens, 5 for 8.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 as we look back on last week's third test between India and England and look ahead to what we're expecting from this week's fourth and final test from Ahmedabad. As you heard there, Joe Root starred with the ball for England. Things you thought you'd never say in your cricket broadcasting career. Recording the best ever or the most economical 5-wicket haul figures by an England off-spinner as 28 of the 30 wickets in that third test fell to spin. Well, actually, 28 of the 30 wickets fell to slow bowling because only 21 only 7 of the 28 balls actually spun. 21 of them were straight honours. But as we said in the first part, Steve Harmison, I just think that, you know, people say, well, if Joe Root took 5 for 8, it's obviously a cabbage patch. And I just don't think it's a distraction.
I think it's a derogatory comment towards Joe Root's bowling, first and foremost. I thought he bowled very, very well. The one thing about Joe, he's very, very smart. You see him bowling 2020 or one day cricket.
But he takes it
smart.
Really seriously
he
as
does.
Well. He works hard. Every single time I see him practice, he practices his bowling.
And he works on angles. That's the thing for me. It'd be interesting to hear what Gareth Batty's comment is on Joe and how his angles work, because Joe does over and round the wicket. He thinks as a batsman. That's the beauty about it. When he bowls spin, he thinks about what the batsman's technique is, if there's any flaws in the technique, where the bat's coming down from, where the batsman's going to score from, and he tries to bowl in angles accordingly to sort of counterbalance that. And I thought that's what he did very, very well on during the second test match. And Look, we only talk Joe Root's bowling down because of he averages nearly 50 with the bat, and everybody expects him as a batsman. Joe Root is not a bad off-spin bowler, and you can see talk about whether what the pitch is going to be like full Test match in Ahmedabad, if it's going to be a big raging turner. Do England play three spinners? Well, they don't really need three spinners. You know, three spinners for me is a waste of time because you can only bowl two at one time, so you've got to. Frontline spin bowlers, use them, and you've got Joe as an able backup as a third. So for me, he balances that spin bowling third option out very, very well.
Cricket statistics can be manipulated, as we know, Harmy, and you can usually find some evidence or at least twist some numbers to find some evidence to back up whatever point you like to make. And, you know, it's interesting. I've always thought for tail-end batsmen, for example, they say, oh, well, he averages eight. He obviously can't bat. But if that was actually... When a partnership was desperately needed and that and a number 10 went in, what's his average then when it actually mattered? When runs really mattered? And similarly with a bowler like Joe Root, how many times has he just come on to bowl three or four meaningless overs and, you know, the game's drifting? And how many times has he come on when a wicket's really been needed in a serious, critical stage of the Test match? Because I think that you would find that his average is slightly... It actually went from 47 to 40 with that 5 for 8. But do you know what I mean? It's like average... I think that we could find evidence to prove that he is a better bowler than many people take him... that many people regard him as.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, he more often than not, he only bowls when there's nothing either, nothing happening in the game or somebody's going well, or like you say, a little bit before a break in play. And it was probably like that on during the second day because it was, well, our seamers are pretty much redundant. We haven't got another spinner, so, right, I'll have a bowl. And it wasn't a case of this was the grand plan. We're going to get Joe Root to be our second spinner. You know, England's plan was to play seam attack, go hard. Hopefully the ball will start moving around, especially under lights. But then it was, well, it's a little bit of an afterthought. But Joe, as a captain, you're going to have to bowl yourself because this is turning. This is, you know, we haven't got a second spinner. You're our second spinner, so you have to have a go. So, look. I think the kid can bowl. I've always thought the kid can bowl. And like I say, it's going to be interesting to see not only the surface, but the balance of England's bowling attack on Thursday morning when the toss is made, because they've got to play Dom Best. I don't think they can make that mistake again. And with Joe Root, you know, in the team as well, obviously as captain and premier batsman, they've got three very, very good spin options.
We're struggling to get hold of Gareth Baddy at the moment, Harmy. Unfortunately, I think he's deep into pre-season training.
Making his way over to Ahmedabad? Seeing a surface like that, I'm sure there's quite a few players who are near the end of their career thinking, just give me one more chance.
I tell you what, though, apart from the batsman, there is one man who is brilliantly placed to tell us how useful Joe Root is, and that, of course, is keeper Ben Foulkes.
I think his bowling can be suited very well to these style of wickets, just purely the amount of turn and skid that is on offer. The way he bowls, he does both of those things. And he's quite hard to line up as well. So he can be quite a challenge for a batter, especially if you can spin it square as well as skid it onto the shin, then it's obviously a tricky game for a batter.
Yeah, and he did skid a few on, but he also turned a few. So that's interesting. You don't think that Joe Root is a viable option as a second spinner then? I mean, I completely understand that. So you would still go with him as a third spinning option after you would play Jack Leach and Dom Best in the fourth test?
Yeah, I think so. I think, look, we've got to be careful on how we treat this young kid, Dom Best, because there's a lot of talk about, yeah, is he good enough? You know, are we playing him because we haven't got any other options? He's got
17 wickets at 22
this winter. So I think you can overplay. You know, sometimes in the full tosses that he's bowled, there'll be a lot of nervousness inside Dom Best. You know, just that nervousness just holds onto the ball a fraction longer. That means you might either drag it down or you bowl that little bit fuller. So I think some very, very good psychology, some good arm round the shoulder, some pumping the tyres up of Dom Bess, telling him he's got 17 wickets at 22. If you do bowl a full toss, look, no damage, just get back on to try and land and get consistently better. This kid is not the finished article. He's a young man who's forcing his way in the international game. I think they have to play him. You have to play him. You can't rely on Joe Root. Because if you're going to bowl Joe Root 25 overs in a test match, you're going to take something away from his batting. It's exactly the same as Ben Stokes. So for me, you back the kid if you want to play two spinners, like you did in the third test match. You backed your selection. We have got the selection that the pink ball is going to swing. It's going to do a bit. We're playing an extra seamer. We're going all in like that. This time, it's going to spin. Because it's a day game, because the ball has changed, we need two spinners. Jack, you're our man. Dom, you're our man. We've got Joe Root as backup. And that, for me, is as simple as that.
I love that thinking because, I just think Joe Root would have... maybe Joe Root and Chris Silwood and the senior, the Brains Trust, might have thought, you've got 17 wickets at 22, but you're still bowling too many bad balls and you could... it could all go horribly wrong and you could be going for 5-6 and over when we're trying to control the test match. But Joe Root's got himself now, as you say. He's his own safety net.
He can help. That can help Dom Bess in so many ways because Dom Bess can relax a little bit. It's not as much pressure on him. There is another option out there. It's like having three top quality seamers. You know that if one of them has a little bit of an off spell, you can whip them off after three overs. Look, don't worry, no damage. Mm-hmm. Go stand at mid off or mid on or backward point. Give the team some energy. 4-5 overs of Joe, we'll have you back on. Just try and get your head around what's happening. Try and relax, get the hand loose and go back again. That's what you do with seamers. And there's no reason you can't do that with spinners.
Yeah, absolutely. You're listening to the Cricket Collective here on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and Double Ashes winner Steve Harmison. Next up, after the break, we'll discuss the latest from the Indian camp, as well as crossing live to Mumbai to speak with the former Indian batsman and contributor to our commentary team, Akash Chopra.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's Akshar Patel, bowls Joe Bess, and he's bowled in!
All the gear and no idea.
Oh dear, that's out.
Here's Ashwin again. Stokes comes forward, struck on the pad, massive appeal for leg before, up goes the finger. Here is Akshar again, another appeal for leg before wicket, up goes the finger. Joe Root been given again.
Bowled in! That was a crackerjack delivery.
Never mind, that's gone. Anderson goes for the reverse sweep and he's been given out. England's second innings is over. They've been dismissed for 81.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective here on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and Double Ashes winner Steve Harmison. If you missed any of the show or you wish to catch up, you can download the podcast from the following on feed, now available on the free TalkSport app. But it's time now to discuss the Indian perspective after they went 2-1 up in the series. But first, let's hear more from their great all-rounder, R. Ashwin, who was delightfully prickly in his post-match interview opportunity. And he says, understandably, that everybody needs to move on from talking about the pitch.
Everybody is entitled to their opinion, and I'm not here to say your opinion is wrong or your opinion is right. But the fact remains that the talk around the surface is just getting, it is just getting out of hands. Yeah, because why would you talk about surface and sell that to us time in and time out? Has there been any instance where the surface has been spoken about when any other place, any other country we played games in? It is, I don't know if we find it very, very funny that when they speak about the surface, it immediately gets quoted all over in our press. And that is the issue here, because there have been instances when we went to New Zealand, both tests got over within 5 days. A total of 5 days for two test matches. And now nobody quoted it. There is a video that's doing the rounds where Virat in South Africa is saying, I'm not here to talk about the pitch and I'm not comforting my boys with regards to that. And that is how we've been taught to play cricket. And I don't know why we indulge such thoughts and, you know, promote such thoughts. And that's why I say, let them sell it. Buying is always our choice.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And I can tell you what, I've downloaded that entire press conference and I've kept it because it's going to bring a smile to my face for years. And I think that it will be used for years and years to come as well. He spoke so well. And as I said, I just found it. I found his prickliness absolutely understandable, justifiable. And I don't know whether he'd be offended if I said amusing as well. But, I mean, he just spoke so well, eloquently, and he made a whole bunch of really good points. Akash Chopra, do you agree?
Yes, he's made some points, of course. And I think he started by saying that everybody's entitled to their own opinion. So you, I, and Harvey, everyone can have our opinion. And that's the beauty of this sport, isn't it? That there should be opinions, there should be chatter. If there is no discussion, there is no opinion, then there is no sport, in my opinion. So Ravichandran Ashwin is absolutely entitled to what he's saying. You may think differently, Harvey may have a different opinion. I may actually stand at a different vantage point. But that's the beauty of the sport, isn't it?
Well, yes, I happen to think he was right, though. it's very gracious of him to say that everybody's entitled to their opinion, but I think R. Ashwin's opinion was right this time. I don't suppose he's always been right. I mean, he does tend to be a deep thinker and perhaps even an overthinker. But there was just, I think, too much emotion involved. You know, people were saying, like, is Javikar Srinath going to report the pitch being poor? It wasn't poor. Okay, it didn't provide a people's ideal fair contest between bat and ball. But it wasn't poor. It wasn't dangerous. How many times did we say on commentary, that's unplayable? There was nothing he could do about that.
Well, it's not dangerous. Yes, absolutely. So definition of a dangerous pitch is where a player's safety is in doubt, or it is in danger. And of course, that wasn't the case. And that's unlikely to be the case on a lot of these dust bowls or rather turning pitches. This wasn't a dust bowl, by the way. I felt that the pitch in Chennai actually did a lot more. This pitch did a little less. It's just that there were other factors involved that made the batting a little difficult. But see, where we are all coming from is that in the history of what? 2,400 plus test matches, there are only 22 test matches that have ended in less than 2 days. And this must also be said that England hosted 9 of those. India has hosted 2 of those. This was only the second test match in India's illustrious test cricket history at home, where a test match is actually ended in 2 days. The other one was against Afghanistan on an absolutely proper pitch. I was covering that game as well. That was just the first test match for Afghanistan, big stage fright and all of that. And then just India steamrolled them. But we can all understand. See, the fact is, we can all understand why this discussion, because 22 out of 2,412 is a very, very small number. And pitch did contribute to it. But yes, as you rightly said, it wasn't dangerous. It did test the batsman's technique. And my other opinion is that the more challenging surface that you provide at this time in this day and age, the faster the test matches are going to get over, because the art of batting is in long form cricket is not really right up there. It is a diminishing art. Some people are very good at it and a lot of them are not. So this is how it is going to turn out if and when there is a pitch that is challenging the batsman's skill.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, Akash. I agree with the techniques of the batsman, I think, is defensively as well, is dwindling just as quick as anything else in the game because of, yes, DRS is one thing, but actually being able to defend and block a ball is something that seems to be going amiss from the game of cricket. And I think that was highlighted in the day a bit. Life is about opinions. I didn't think the pitch was good enough for test match cricket. But Akash, what did you make of the pink ball? What do you make of the ball actually in this contest? And is it something that going forward you think has got future, especially in India?
Well, it will be debated. So, Hami, there were a couple of things. Firstly, this is only the second test match with the pink ball in India. There aren't a lot of games that have been played with this ball. This surface was a little quicker. It is also red in nature. So when you're preparing a ball for a particular contest, you also bear in mind that, if it fades a little too quickly, then it will not be visible. The chairs, the seating in the stadium was also orangish. So what I've been informed is that there was an extra effort to make it pinker, like a deeper shade of pink, which really meant that three extra lacquers. Like coating of lacquer, which is perhaps only one in red ball. There were three of these. Therefore, just to increase the visibility, it ended up becoming far more difficult for the batsman because the ball was skidding on a bit too much. And that's where 21 out of 30 wickets fell to a straight ball. It's not that people have stopped playing or knowing how to play the straight ball. It's just that it was coming in too quick. DRS comes into the picture, like you mentioned. Some balls turned, most didn't. And it was almost like a catastrophe. But going forward with this ball, I think it's work in progress. I mean, we will have to play a few more games, play first-class cricket as well. Of course, times are different. We didn't have a first-class circuit this year. There are no four-day games. Ranji Trophy, for the first time in God knows how many years, has been abandoned. So we need to use this ball a little more, a lot more. And then choose your venues very judiciously. Because the other problem that I saw and that just befuddles us is that third session, the session under lights, actually the ball didn't do much. Whether it was the first day evening, second day evening, because the ball gets so wet and then stops doing anything for faster bowlers, for spinners. And then when you think that the game got over in 4.5 sessions, you think that, it's been quite dramatic. It shouldn't have happened this way around.
Yeah, it's a good line, isn't it? Quickest test match since World War II. But I can understand Ashwin's prickliness because I think that it's a distraction from how well Akshar Patel bowled. He read conditions magnificently. I mean, he's a very, very good bowler. He wasn't, he averages 27 in first-class cricket, but the way he was skidding the ball on and changing his pace and his quicker balls, and he could see clearly that the ball was skidding on. It was more like, it was like a toffee apple with all that lacquer on it, wasn't it? It was like just to try and protect the pink colour. And so it was such a quick test match. It's a question, I suppose, as much because the batsmen on both teams batted poorly and were unable to adjust against a bowler in just his second test match. He was in the absolute prime of his game.
Agree wholeheartedly. On a different surface, I think players would have batted against him in a very different fashion as well. This surface was as if absolutely tailor-made for his kind of bowling. The pace at which he bowled, the height at which he bowled, the extra lacquer that we've been mentioning. I'm just thinking, if I were a batsman, Neil, then how would I score runs against Akshar Patel? So I will play him as someone who brings the ball back in, not as a left-arm spinner, somebody who just slides the ball in. So I'll protect my front leg. An odd ball might turn, take the outside edge. Okay, I'll take that chance. But what are my scoring options? If I go back, I'm dead. I can't step out because he's too fast. I can't sweep properly because he's once again too fast and the ball is skidding. Paddle sweep, you have a fielder there. So how do I score runs? So that becomes an issue. So I think Akshar, this pitch was absolutely perfect, like a picture perfect kind of stuff for him. One question would also, I think a lot of people are going to ask, and I think perhaps asking already, is the fact that did fast bowlers have anything to do in this game? So that's another question. Did India actually score 350? So I think, you know, these things do happen quite a lot. When one team gets bowled out for 45, 17, 110, the other team, which is the home team, like India did in Chennai, there was a lot of talk about the pitch as well. But India managed 320 in both innings, a century in one in first innings by Rohit, century in the second innings by Ashwin. And suddenly you saw, you know, one team can bat, the other can't. In this case, since India got bowled out for 145, obviously the chatter is a lot more. Matt got over in 2 days as well. But coming back to Akshar Patel, see him, Ravindra Jadeja, these sort of bowlers, Anil Kumble on a surface like this with a pink ball in his hand, oh, he'll be unplayable. So if you bowl at that pace from that height, your scoring options are very limited. And for how long can you actually survive without scoring?
To be fair, Akash and Manas, I think Durham Cricket Club can take some credit for Akshar Patel, because they brought him over last year or the year before to play some county cricket. And when you're a spin bowler in Durham, you can barely feel your fingers. So trying to turn the ball is nigh on impossible. So you just try and bowl as fast and as flat as you can. So I'm sure Akshar learned a little bit from his county stint in Durham. But Akash, what do you make is going forward? You know, Bumrah's out the squad. What sort of surface are we going to get? Second test match in the full test match with the second back-to-back in Ahmedabad, and the makeup of the India side. Do you see them still sticking with three spinners?
Yes, I think. But you're right, actually. After the third test match or second test match, I remember talking to Akshar, actually. And he did mention Durham, by the way. He said, you know, I bowled a lot of overs there and I learned a lot bowling in non-spin-friendly conditions as well. So yes, he did mention now Bumrah is not there for the personal reasons. You've got Siraj and Umesh, one of the two bowlers can be picked. It's not really going to make a difference because both have done reasonably well. You're looking at three spinners once again. The pitch, in my opinion, with the red ball, we are in for at least a four-day test match. It may still go on the fifth day. One team should actually, India, I'm expecting India to bat a lot better. And then, of course, England as well. But India to enjoy an upper hand, they might want to once again it'll be a toss up, I think, between Kuldeep Yadav and Washington Sundar, because Washi didn't get to bowl at all in the previous game. He didn't really get the runs either. And why would you want to, like, with Ashwin scoring runs, Akshar can bat. Why do you want Washi for his batting at number 9? I'd rather go with Kuldeep Yadav, who picked up a couple of wickets. I know it's not ideal. One play, one drop. It's not ideal on both of them, but I would still go with Kuldeep Yadav because he will give me a wicket-taking option. If the pitch is a little on the flatter side, then you want a wrist spinner.
And finally, Akash, I think I'm just old enough to remember the days when teams would play an extra batsman when they just needed a draw. India just need a draw to reach the final of the World Test Championship, but the days of teams playing for a draw are long gone, correct?
Absolutely. I'll be aghast. I'll be taken aback. I'll be in a shock if India actually went in now with the mindset of drawing a game, having the team composition to ensure a draw, so add another batsman. The only time I would expect India to bat another, add another batsman, is when they feel that the game is going to get over too quickly. So as it was the case, say, in the third test match, nobody could foresee what is going to happen. Otherwise, that is the only time you want another batsman. Other than that, go with the idea of taking 20 wickets, because the moment you start thinking negatively, you don't end up drawing the game, you end up losing the game. So I'll be heartbroken if India is thinking like that.
Great to talk to you, Akash. Thanks so much for your time. We'll talk to you again on Thursday.
Likewise, friends. Looking forward to.
Akash, of course, will be part of our award-winning commentary team, who will bring you live and exclusive ball-by-ball commentary of the fourth test between India and England here on TalkSport 2, starting at 4 o'clock. Well, our coverage starts at 3.45 this Thursday. Still to come, the final part of the show with me, Neil Manthorpe, and Steve Harmison. We'll discuss what England need to do to bounce back in Ahmedabad. You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2.
Root again. Down the wicket goes Rohit Sharma. Swings it high and wide over mid-wicket for 6 runs. And India have won this test match by 10 wickets.
We just got to keep looking to get better. It was a tough week, but it's a week that shouldn't define us as a team. You know, we've got some fine players in this dressing room. Some young guys that will have to learn quite quickly. and we've got to bounce back strong in this last game.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective here on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and Double Ashes winner Steve Harmison. In the final part of the show, we'll talk about England's best 11 for the fourth and final test and ask just how big an achievement it would be if they can come back from India with a share of the series at 2-2. What can we expect from conditions? Well, keeper Ben Foulkes has absolutely no doubt.
We know what we're going to get. I guess they're pushing their conditions to the extremities, and we know it's going to spin quite considerably from ball one. So I think it's more just about trying to find a way to play well in those conditions, and obviously understand that they're going to be challenger, but try and do a good job.
Pushing conditions to the extremities. I like that. I like that a lot. It's delightful. He's
the polite way to say it's going to spin.
Trying very hard to be diplomatic, isn't he? It's just lovely. Harmy, I'm slightly befuddled about what England's options are. I mean, in these days of COVID pandemic squads of 20 players, I mean, are there any other spin options? I mean, and then having speculated about whether we'd ever see Broad and Anderson play again together, are we going to go from that scenario to a test match in which neither of them plays?
Yeah, possibly we could be going with a test match where neither of them plays. I think the other options, we have to tell everybody that's out there, they've got a young leg spinner in Mason Curran from Hampshire, which I think would be a big ask. I think he's played one test match. They've got young Verdi from Surrey, an off-spinner, who is a very, very fine prospect. Both of them fine prospects. I like the look of Mason Crin. I think the kid can play. I think young Parkinson's out there as well. Leg spinner from Lancashire. I'm not sure if he's come home or not. But they're the other options other than Bess and Leach. Well, you've got, and having Root, I think you don't need another option. I think you've got two frontline bowlers who you'd want to hang your hat on and bowl all the time. Root's there as a backup. So for me, that's the way I'd go. You've got Stokes as your all-rounder, then you've got to pick two seamers. And I think the two seamers that you pick, for me, especially on this surface, if it's going to be very, very, very slow, it is going to be a turner, I think then you have to try and take the pitch out of the equation. And if you do that, Anderson's brilliant at using his angles and like moving the ball laterally. But I personally, I'd like to see England go all guns blazing, go with a bit of pace and go two from Archer, Wood and Stone. And I'd probably punt for me two more experience. Even though I think Ollie Stone did brilliantly when he came in, I'd potentially go with Wood and Archer and say, right, I've got two fast bowlers, an all-rounder and two frontline spinners. And we're not going to be worried from a seam point of view, whether it's we're going to try and get wickets. We need to win the test match. This is the problem. England need to win the test match. So it could be the first time in a while that we're not going to see a Broad and Anderson in the same England side.
When you said take the pitch out of the equation, I was picturing Don Best bowling full tosses.
Yeah. I mean, trying to sort of, you know, the pace of 140, between 145 and 150.
And what about those people who say, Harmy, have we not learnt the lesson? We picked four seamers in the last test and look what happened there. I mean, you're saying go for two out-and-out quick men.
Yeah, well, I just think on this surface, if you look at who has been the way that's been they've been effective, and that's the slow bowlers. There's nothing really been for anything, you know, pace wise. Anderson bowled well in the first one up in Chennai, but I look at you've got to try and get the big players out for me. And the way Archer got and set the ball rolling, he got Rohit Sharma out in that test match as well. I just think pace through the air, potentially reverse swing, could come into it. And this is doing Jimmy no service at all, because he's got 600 test wickets, and Jimmy will throw this back in my face by saying, you know, look, I can move the ball laterally, not a problem from angles. I get that, and I do, and it pains me to say it, but I just think from a pace point of view, we need to win. Forget sitting in. I think we need to take wickets on this sort of surface, especially if it's going to be a turner and we think it's going to be a low scoring game. I need wickets rather than trying to sort of hold one end of the game while the spin bowlers is going. I've got two spin bowlers, so if it is turning, they're both going to be on at the same time. If I need a seam option, I want something with impact, and that's the way I'd potentially look at it.
Pack your alarm clock, Harmy. We're back to the 3 o'clock starts.
It's brilliant. I can't wait. Yeah. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed that Darren Goff's taxi driver turns up here at the right time and on the right day. I have heard it's the same taxi driver from day one of the first test match. So Goffy's alarm clock will have to go on Wednesday and not early Thursday morning. But hey, hang on to your hats, because I hope England can come back strong. They've won three in this winter. If they make it four, it'll be a fantastic achievement if they can get something out of this series and draw 2-2.
You've been listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and the former England fast bowler and double Ashes winner, Steve Armisen. If you've missed any of the show or wish to catch up, you can download the podcast from the following on feed, now available via the free TalkSport app. Don't forget, TalkSport 2 will be the place to hear live and exclusive ball-by-ball commentary of that fourth test between India and England from Ahmedabad. Our coverage begins at 3:45 a.m. this Thursday morning. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.